This morning's gospel is a little bit puzzling and a little bit mysterious, and after you listen to me for a few minutes, this gospel will still be a little bit puzzling and a little bit mysterious. I think it might be designed to be that way. You know, almost every courtroom in the United States, courthouse in the United States, has a statue of a woman blindfolded holding a scale. And on one scale is justice, and on the other scale is mercy. And civilizations have always tried to discern the balance between justice and mercy. Every civilization going back to the beginning of recorded history has tried to understand crime and punishment. In the 19th century, we have that great novel, Crime and Punishment. In the 20th century, with television, we are besieged with programs about law and order. Daily, we are brought into the courtroom of Judge Judy. We listen to the news and we hear the politicians in Washington debating the issue of what is a crime and what is the right punishment. It lingers, that issue lingers and lingers, and hopefully, looking back over history, we see how it has evolved. It keeps seemingly to get better. I mean, way back in the very, very beginning, punishment and crime. It was very easy to commit a crime because so many things were crimes. And the punishment usually in those ancient days was the penalty of either total humiliation in the village square or death. They could impose the death penalty on people for very, very minor offenses. Now, today, almost every nation in the world has done away with capital punishment. And the few that still have capital punishment, it's usually only for deliberately harsh, cruel murder. But there are still some ancient traditions in some countries where capital punishment is imposed on people for sexual crimes, for sexual orientation. There is a few of those still left. But society in general has become more and more sophisticated and more just. Well, this is the issue we have in the gospel today. Jesus is teaching in the temple, and the temple officials, the scribes and the Pharisees, bring in this woman, put her in the middle of the town square, in the middle of the temple platform, humiliation. And says to Jesus, this woman was caught in adultery. And the penalty, according to the biblical laws of ancient times, is that she should be stoned to death. They reminded him, they said, the ancient laws in the Torah says if a couple is caught in adultery, they are to be brought to the temple, and there should be two witnesses to their crimes, and their punishment would be death by stoning. So they said to Jesus, should this woman be stoned to death? Now, I'm going to let you in on a secret. They're not being too honest here. The first thing is, obviously, if Judge Judy was there, she'd say, where's the man? If there's adultery, this is the woman, where's the man? So now we got a little bit of hypocrisy here going on. And the other thing they don't say in here is they have no power to execute this woman. Israel, Jerusalem, is being ruled by a Roman governor, Pontius Pilate. He has a law that no temple official can impose the death penalty. Only the Roman government can impose the death penalty. And we know this in the case of Jesus. The temple people have to bring Jesus to Pontius Pilate for him to condemn him to death. They can't do it. So they're not being too honest here. And so Jesus looks up at them, and he knows that if he says, yes, she should be stoned to death, then he would be violating the Roman law, and he would get in trouble. If he says no, she shouldn't be stoned to death, they would say you're breaking the temple law. He couldn't win. But you know, Jesus is in this story. He's not representing the temple. And he's not representing the Roman government. Jesus in this story is representing God, his Father. Jesus is representing the mind of God, the will of God. And what's hidden in here? Jesus writes something in the sand with his finger, but of course history is the winds have come and blew away those words that Jesus wrote. So we don't know what they are. People guess, oh, it's the list of, it's the name of the man who's involved. Or it's a list of the sin of all the temple officials. Nobody knows. But he wrote something. And whatever that something was, it would reflect the will of God. And whatever it was, it touched the temple officials because they one by one disappeared, walked away. Which means, you know what that meant? There weren't two witnesses left to judge this woman. And so Jesus really doesn't make a decision. He just creates a situation that the law could not be fulfilled. The ancient, primitive, harsh law could not be fulfilled. And representing not the temple and not Rome, he's representing God. What is God doing? God is looking at that woman, and through Jesus, God is speaking, and through Jesus, God speaks. What does God want for her and for all of us? God wants us to grow into virtue. God wants us to grow into innocence. God wants us to grow into his kingdom. And God sees our lives as a journey. And the judgment comes only after the journey is completed. We call it the last judgment, the final judgment. But in the meantime, in the eyes of God, as we travel through our lives, he is there. And he is trying to get us to grow to his vision. But we stumble and we fall, and he doesn't want us to cut us down just because we make mistakes. He wants us to be healed so that we continue to grow. He wants to give us hope even though we've made mistakes. He never wants us to be paralyzed by past mistakes that just crush us and haunt us and make it impossible for us to start afresh. This is very much like the sacrament of reconciliation. Very much. In sacrament reconciliation, we go to God. It's an act of trust on our part. We put ourselves in the hands of God and we say, God, here I am. I'm putting myself in your hands. I'm imperfect. I've made mistakes. I know that you already know that, but I also know you love me. And God, I'm asking you to heal me so that I can get up and continue the journey. Journey into goodness, into godness, into the kingdom. And so Jesus says to her, I do not condemn you. You still have a journey to go. I do not continue to condemn you, but continue on, go on, and sin no more. Grow in grace. So that, I think, is the message, but still a mystery. The writing in the sand. God was saying something. What was it? And I think it's the mystery of us living with God. He's always talking to us, encouraging us, healing us. But But sometimes we don't know what he's saying. And so sometimes, even when we don't know what he's saying, we have to make that act of trust. Put ourselves in his hands and say, Almighty God, here I am, imperfect, but I trust that you love me, and I trust you will heal me, and I trust you will lead me home to the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.